Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What is up?
I was worried about you there. I thought you had a tot emergency.
No, it's allergies still. The pollen count is high again.
The pollen is quite
pungent.
It's quite ferocious. Does your dog like walk when they walk? Do they like to rub against the bushes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like it's just you can't.
She does.
You can't do it any other way. And today the little rum ham walked underneath a bush as he does. And boy, when he came out, I felt horrible for him. He was just covered. It was like someone took a bag of flour, like yellow flour, and just threw it at him.
Why do dogs do that?
And then he was just sneezing his little butt off. I felt terrible for him.
What an idiot.
Yeah, and I was trying to like dust him off, but then I started sneezing. It was ridiculous the amount of pollen that got dropped on him.
I find dog behavior fascinating.
Well, again, it's probably all, you know, evolution is hardwired into their DNA.
Yeah. It's interesting to just watch them.
Yeah.
Molly.
I don't know why but every one of my dogs, when they walk, it's like they walk right through the middle of bushes. They love it. I don't understand what exactly that is, but they never met a bush they didn't want to rub against.
Molly does that too.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
I'm sure there's some sort of reasoning behind it. It's like when they spin around they lay down.
Throwing their stank on it. So other dogs that come by are like, hey.
I guess. But I
was thought that Molly Two Poops territory.
I thought that was you pee and you mark. What is rubbing
your butt?
What is rubbing, just like rubbing your body up against it?
I don't know. I have a lot of questions about dog behavior.
But
little Molly, we call her Sarge, you know, Molly Two Poops. She just, man, she is in charge of our yard, man. You ain't getting in there. I'm telling you, she's coming after your ass.
It is fascinating.
And she patrols, dude. She patrols the whole thing every day.
I appreciate the little dog factor.
And I wonder what that is.
Well, I think that little dogs have been emboldened by people because people let little dogs get away with murder.
Well, this was a street dog, so I think that she's just had to fend for herself. You know, she's had to fight for her territory.
You would have thought, though, that she would have been
a scrapper.
She would have been murdered 9 times over by now.
Well, she's cunning.
Is she?
Yeah, she's actually really smart.
She weighs 7 pounds.
No, I know, but, you know, when you weigh 7 pounds and you're out on the street with all these wild dogs, man.
You gotta figure it out, right?
You got to do your own thing. It's like freaking, it's like a boxer. play to your strengths.
A little Tasmanian devil.
Yeah.
But every dog in my neighborhood is like under 10 pounds. And they're all just lose their S and freak out at my dog. And I'm always just, I just sit there and be like, what would happen? Like they always do. It's like they're the hold me back guy. Hold me back. Hold me back. Well, just once I kind of want to be like, you know what? Let them off the leash and see what happens. Because I'm tired. I'm tired of the lip. Tired of all the yapping, get your dog under control. But they never do because they let the little dog do whatever it wants.
They are annoying.
You can't do that with a big dog.
Joe Fisher, everybody.
Hello.
What are you doing here?
I think Mike is big time in the show because of his podcast. Is that
what's happening?
He's down in Tillamook filming the Beers on Us podcast. It's on the road.
Filming it?
Yeah, they're doing like a whole thing.
I think a video?
Yeah, I think they're doing like a video thing.
Wow.
Mike's becoming big time. Our show clearly has become like...
Well, we're no podcast.
No, it's like ninth down the list.
Hey, there's our boss.
Yeah, he's right there.
Maybe he'll give us a podcast.
No, we're not good enough to have a podcast. But I do enjoy that Mike is leaving his paid gig for the unpaid gig to go, you know, seek his fame and fortune in the
beer
world.
Mike doesn't care about this show. Like, here's a dirty little secret about radio producers, okay? They don't care about the show that they produce.
No.
They don't. No. They just want the next opportunity.
Yes.
They're waiting.
Believe me.
For somebody to get fired.
At night.
Right, Joe, am I wrong? Come on.
I'd have a point there.
Look, when Mike hits his knees at night to pray to the Sky Jew, I can assure you that somewhere in that prayer is he hopes that like a bus runs through the window here and murders you and I. Because then it would be like he... Two seats. Because if one, you got to be careful. You never know. But with two, then it's like, well, they just slide me and Patrick in. Or, yeah, he wants both of us to die. I think he would take one of us dying. But really, in Mike's little prayers, I believe he is actively rooting for both of our demises.
Oh, what a tragedy. So I start on Monday?
Yes. Like, so if we died...
Who's getting the show?
If we died in a horrible... like
train.
I don't know how we would die. The snakes, right? The snakes come out. They murder us both.
Mm.
And we go down. And we would have the company funeral thing, you know, social distancing. Everyone had to be vaccinated.
Would they? For us?
I think there would be some sort of,
I don't feel like we're beloved the way that, others would be.
You don't think we get a memorial service?
From the company?
From the company.
No.
Hmm.
No, I don't. I think that... Okay, well, unfortunately, we've had to go through this before with some people at the office. Yeah. And we did have our big, 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 big boss come for a funeral.
Yeah.
But they ain't putting on their own. Mm. I mean, why would they do that? That would just cost them money.
You get a mass email at best.
Okay.
Totally.
Follow me on this. The mass email.
And I don't think they'd show up for us.
The mass email comes out, and then we have our own services. How about that?
Yeah, okay, so we have a service.
We have a service.
Put on by our families.
Put on by the families.
Who loved us.
Yes.
Or at least theoretically say they do.
I do think that there would be people, and I am not being facetious, there would be people there that would generally be sad, right? They'd be like,
well,
oh,
I'd hope so.
Those guys were pretty decent fellas.
God.
But...
However.
There would also be a handful of people in places they don't want to admit... That would all be sitting there and being like, hey, what?
Hey, I wonder what they're going to do on that show.
What's going to happen with Prime? And then they would all be debating how long they'd have to wait before they went up to the powers that be and were like, hey, what's the plan? Have you ever seen the movie The Other Guys?
Great movie.
Mark Wahlberg. And,
yes.
It'd be like that.
Yes.
When Samuel Jackson and The Rock die and they're all at the funeral and they end up with that fight to find out who's going to be the next like top cop. That would be us. Dirt and Sprague would be fighting like Patrick and Lynch. Joe would come in and stab someone and it would all be a kerfuffle at our service to see who would take over the show.
Do you think any of them have the balls to go up to Jeff at our funeral?
Swaggard.
So,
it's
very just, sad day, huh?
Yeah, look, I mean, we're all...
Well, Swag would do this. He'd come up and stand next to you, and then he'd go...
Pretty tough.
Pretty tough. Yeah, huh? But just wonder what you're going to do with that show.
Yeah, I mean, we got to make a decision, right? I mean, and he would pose it as this, because Swag views himself as in charge of programming. He'd be like, so should I run ESPN programming or maybe something more local? I'm not doing anything.
Who should get our show if we die? Who do you think it should be? What would they do?
I don't know.
What would happen?
I'll tell you what. There would be – it's like the vacuum. It would create a vacuum of power and someone, some would be angling for it. I'll tell you what. You know who I think would be the sleaziest about it? I got my eyes on Dirt and Sprague. Those dudes are ladder climbers. Something tells me – those two guys would be hatching some sort of plan.
Well, they just got a nice promotion.
Exactly. They got a nice morning show, and I think they'd be a little tired of waking up in the mornings. I think those guys.
See, I'd do Sprague's, a morning show.
Sprague's a real go-getter.
You want to switch with those guys? Would you do that?
Yeah, mornings?
Yeah.
You just want to play more golf.
Well, Well, I can play golf anyway.
Well,
but
that and you're old. You wake up at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it fits my lifestyle now. It didn't back when I did them, but it does now.
It's come full circle.
I would, I'd switch.
You'd do it.
Those dudes,
swap-a-roo.
Those bros. You think they want afternoons? I don't know. Well, it would be a free for all on our openings, our chairs.
Yes.
So Mike somewhere is plotting our murder. That's all we know.
Yeah.
Look, on film and some sort of podcast.
I'm just saying, if we die in some sort of suspicious thing, please, everyone, look at the people at the station first. It's a Dateline episode waiting to happen. It was a quiet radio station. Everyone seemed to get along, or did they?
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you think, in the heartland, if they had a public service for us, would listeners show up?
Oh, I
listen. Yelling what it do.
I think a handful, right? We're maybe good for, what, 10, 12 people?
I think if you did some sort of Viking funeral send-off where they put you on, like, the bundle of sticks, float you down the river, and light an arrow on fire. And
that's all I've ever wanted.
I mean, you would get people to turn out for that 100%.
Well, if the stupid city would let me, and at this point, there's no one to stop me. So I say put me on the Willamette. Send me out there and then give everyone, like, line them up, like, old-school archery style. And then you can sell, like, raffle tickets, and everyone can shoot an arrow to see who gets to light me on fire first, and the winner, like, gets my car or something. You can win Sukanik's whatever. You know, make a little kind of a carnival. We can sell corn dogs at it.
Run some promos on the radio for it.
You know, raise some money for charity or something. I don't know how.
We can do a charity wiffle ball tournament.
Oh, there you go.
In our honor.
Just kind of prop us up, like, as an umpire. You know, like, where if you hit the chair, it's a strike. If you hit Rob's dead corpse, that's a strike. You know, prop me up maybe somewhere around second. It'd be good to go.
Truth comes out. Deal text. Just read my text. I don't care who plays the fart sounders.
Yeah.
See, they're all very selfish, you listeners.
Yeah.
It's all about you.
Look, the world is meant to move on. If there's one thing...
You'll miss us when we're gone.
There's one thing I've learned... In my 43 years on this planet is, man, the world just keeps on a-trucking. You can think you're a big deal.
Yeah, that it does.
Wait until you're dead, and then everyone's like cares for all of 7 seconds, and then, you know.
Isn't that sad?
You move on to something else.
That's so sad.
That's true.
Yeah, but it's sad.
It's just the...
What's it all for?
Well, I think
what
that's,
are we doing here?
I think that's up for everyone to kind of figure out. That's that whole meaning of life thing.
Yeah. What is the meaning of life?
An open bar at the memorial? Well, I would certainly hope so.
No. Why would we give open... Who has an open bar at a memorial?
Well, I would hope it would be us.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
I would like, believe me.
Only if Odyssey pays for it.
Well,
and
exactly.
We all know how that would go.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Look, the company doesn't have to pick up the cost of the funeral, but you can't spring for an open bar.
At least maybe they can.
Like 2-3 drink tickets.
An Odyssey station.
Times are tough.
How's the stock price?
$4.20. So no, cut the bar from the budget, Jace.
That's disappointing.
That was cut from the budget in 1987.
Well, right before COVID, we had like a company sort of gathering, and there was a...
We did?
There was a semi-open bar. Remember
was I not invited?
No, it was at the Star Theater. You were there.
Oh, I was there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
That was an open bar-ish.
When was that?
Right at the start of COVID, like January.
Yeah, and COVID kind of scared some people off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who played? That band that played? Remember them?
Yeah, it was the St. Motel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good get.
It was a great get.
For a party like that.
For a little party. Yeah, it was a good time, man.
Yeah.
But there,
I had fun.
A bunch of people were, a bunch of clients. It was like a client party, but a bunch of them did get scared off.
Because, that's right at the time when everybody's like, we don't know what to do.
Yeah, COVID had just started and nothing had been locked down yet.
That was going to be a rager.
Oh, it would have been good times. But if it wasn't for COVID, I do feel that night could have been a raw opportunity.
For who? You?
Just for anyone in general. There was a good vibe.
Things were going down.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Something could have happened.
All right. Well, Joe's here just for today or?
Yes, just for today.
Darn it. Mike will be back tomorrow.
In theory.
If his podcast doesn't get 8 million downloads tonight and then he takes off to...
swoops up and...
Money and glory.
Standard
overnight.
Standard fame and fortune contract.
It's all about the podcast, man. That's what the kids are doing.
Well, technically, this is a podcast, but, it's a radio show as well.
Hey, I'll take Mike climbing the ladder and getting out of here again. As he wants your seats, I'll take his seat.
Yeah. How about ladder climbing, man?
The dominoes fall.
All about ladder
climbing. A lot of people lined up out there. Well, okay, so I caught a quick correction in Joe's sports snort.
Okay.
Because he's disseminating fake news to you.
Oh, for
that Colt Brennan was the back was the runner up for the Heisman the year he did not win the Heisman.
Second runner up? Is that how you phrase that?
Is that what you said?
I did say runner up. Yeah. But yeah,
he was second runner up. He was behind. You know who won the Heisman that year? That by the way, Colt Brennan dead.
Yeah, 37. He died in rehab.
Yeah, brutal. I guess he's had a pretty rough life.
Well, I guess he had like a traumatic brain injury and it kind of...
Wait, it was a car accident.
Yeah, a car accident with a traumatic brain injury, and I guess it was hard left after that. But yeah, that stinks. I mean, you're in rehab, so obviously, you know, you don't know what happened, but he got a hold of something.
Yeah, he died, man. Yeah. You know who won the Heisman the year?
What year was that?
2007, am I right, Joseph?
2006, I believe.
I think it was 7. I'm going to go ahead and say 7.
2007.
Darren McFadden, I believe.
Well, no.
Darren McFadden didn't win a Heisman.
Joe, fake news all over the place. Joe is Bob Baffert-ing this.
2007.
It was Tim Tebow.
Ah!
Tim Tebow!
This was the great, the stupid promise thing.
What?
Yeah, remember, he made the dumb promise. They lost to, like, Ole Miss.
That was the Ole Miss game, though.
And Tim cried and was like, I'm going to be the greatest, blah, blah, blah.
That was that year?
Yeah, that was that year.
Oh, thank you.
And then he went and won the Heisman.
There was his speech. Did you hear that? That was his. That was from his speech at the Heisman ceremony.
Oh, thank you.
Tim Tebow, the Exorcist. I forced my lady to watch The Exorcist last night. It didn't go so well.
Does it not hold up, or like she freaked out?
Oh, she was just unhappy with the entire thing.
Meaning unhappy like this movie is stupid, or oh my god, this freaks me out.
Yeah, she was very uncomfortable at the whole premise of The Exorcist. But if you
So stupid or scared?
Scared.
Okay.
Scared.
Because I could see how you watch it now and go, God, this is dumb.
Yeah.
But at the time, that was terrifying.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrifying.
I think it holds up. Oh, I have not seen The Exorcist in probably 20 years.
I haven't either.
And it held up okay. You know, it was, it certainly had its moments, but it kind of drags on quite a bit. You know, mm-hmm. We could have tightened it up just a little.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like, what's that one where they're running in the forest and then...
The Blair Witch.
Yeah.
Yeah, tighten that up. We could have done that in a quick 45.
That kind of drags, yeah, but the end is great.
Yeah, yeah. But I forced her to watch The Exorcist, and she was not happy about it. And she tried several times to get up and leave. I didn't allow it to happen. But it made me think of that with the whole demonic voice, because then I was doing that the rest of the evening. It didn't go over.
What's going on?
She'll be breaking up with me, like, literally any moment.
So Tim Tebow won the Heisman in 2007. Darren McFadden had the second most votes. Mm-hmm. And then Colt Brennan had the third most votes.
That Hawaiian team was fun to watch, man.
Yeah, he was awesome. He could sling it.
And then they got, unfortunately, they got drilled by Georgia, if I'm not mistaken.
Georgia, yeah.
Yeah, they went to one of the BCS Busters.
Did you see the headline in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution on their Twitter feed?
Oh, God.
Did you see what it said?
About Brennan?
Yeah.
No.
What?
It's just you're making me nervous that it's going to be some sort of alluding to them beating him.
Yeah. It was, and I'm going to paraphrase, it was quarterback who Georgia beat in 2008 whatever bowl.
Are you serious?
Dies.
Oh, for that's what they said.
And then they pulled it down and put up another crappy headline.
Stupid. Come on.
So,
it's about just and coming from this show, which is about as irreverent easy. When people pass away as humanly possible.
Yeah.
And really, like, that's your headline? My God.
Well, rest in peace, the great, and he was great, Colt Brennan.
Yes.
He is a hero in Hawaii.
Yeah, he was a big, big stinking deal there.
A big deal there.
Yeah.
Dies at 37. Okay, so we've got a little Major League Baseball relocation news, bro.
Yeah, I don't know how significant it is for Portland, but it certainly kind of got everyone's ears up a little bit.
How do you feel about that?
I don't know how to feel about it. I'm kind of... That's
kind of exciting.
I'm a little wishy-washy on this.
Oh. All right, well, we're going to come back and talk about it. It's the subject of our poll question. Thanks for being with us. Tuesday with Isaac and Suk on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's our poll question today. It is, as always, on our website on internet, 1080thefan.com, and it is, as always, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, a family business helping families for over 50 years, AAAIAQ.com. Today we're asking you, if the A's were to relocate, where will they ultimately land? And, of course, Portland is on the list, mm-hmm. because, you know, there's a whole MLB to Portland movement.
Yes.
rather dormy right now, what with COVID and, well, our city burning and our glass breaking.
Got a bit of an issue going on in
Portland. We got a few issues to clean up, but hey, they're still around. The group is still doing its thing. So Portland, Vegas, Nashville, Montreal. You could also vote for They Ain't Leaving Yo or Charlotte or Vancouver. There's all kinds of things on there. So well, vote.
Some of this is a bluff.
And vote hard.
It certainly is a, you know, the headline easily could have read Major League Baseball demands Oakland City Council to take a vote already. Esther, get off the pot.
Right.
They were supposed to vote on the Howard Terminal project in April.
Well, wait, let's go back. So For those that don't know what's going on, the A's have been, I mean, my God, you can go back to Charlie Finley. The A's have been in Oakland since 1968.
Yes.
Finley was there from the beginning. And you can go back to like 1970-something, and there are T-shirts still existing that people wear talking about the A's relocating.
The Coliseum was the worst stadium in 1974. It's the worst stadium in 2021. It fills with raw sewage. No one goes there.
It is awful.
They have to have a new ballpark. And
but we've been saying this for 15 years.
Yes.
Literally 15 years. So the A's apparently have been trying to get a new ballpark, but I question how hard they've been trying to get a new ballpark, you know, because nothing has moved. They have threatened to move 50,000 times.
Yes. And this seems like it's everything.
So I don't.
Everything I've read seems to indicate that this time it's realer than ever. So there is a waterfront section down there called the Howard Terminal.
Yeah.
And they want to build something much like we proposed up here at Terminal 2 in Portland. It'll be on the water. They will do housing. There'll be some low-income housing. There'll be business expansion, all kinds of stuff that'll use the bay. It'll be right there. And some of the artist renderings are wonderful. And much like Portland, this is all going to sound very familiar. The stadium will be privately financed, but there will be a bunch of money dumped in by the city for the infrastructure, right? So the city is kind of balking at this, saying, yeah, you're telling us that it's going to be publicly or privately funded, which is true. And that's the same thing here in Portland. Don't act like some of the taxpayers aren't going to be on the hook for a bunch of the infrastructure. And so that's the deal that Oakland is trying to make. The A's, they're saying, we'll build the stadium. You help us out with the surrounding stuff. And by the way, we'll still keep all the surrounding stuff. I mean, that's how they're recouping the cost of the ballpark. And Oakland has kind of balked at this, but it went to the city council and they said they were going to vote in April. Yes or no? Well, here we are. It's well past April. There's been no vote. And they supposedly have kind of given the middle finger, saying, don't pressure us. We'll vote when we're damn good and ready. And this was clearly... Remember, this wasn't the A's that released this. This was Major League Baseball today that released the statement first, and then the A's followed. This was a brushback pitch to the Oakland City Council that said either vote and say yes or no, because if it's no, we're moving on. And they're going to try to call their bluff, because remember, they lost the Raiders and they lost the Warriors all in the span of the last, what, year and a half. Do you have the balls, if you are the Oakland City Council, to lose your three major league sports teams in just a couple calendar years?
Yeah, so maybe that's what this is. It's simply some cage rattling.
Yeah.
And that will shake things loose, and the A's will get a new ballpark.
I would find it hard to believe that the city council, even with everything going on, would allow Oakland to go from three major sports cities, especially when that area is growing, because no one can afford to live in San Francisco. And so that side, certainly Oakland has been on the come up for a while now. And you're going to allow them to become Tulsa? You're going to allow them to not have a single pro sports team after having three in the tradition there? I find that hard to believe.
Well, that's why I've never thought the A's were leaving Oakland.
Yeah.
As it pertains to MLB to Portland, I've always said that I think that it's more likely Portland would eventually get an expansion team,
yeah,
if a team at all. But here we are, and so this is your typical posturing. It is important that the MLB, through its name, through its weight behind this,
yeah,
because
hey, we give
obviously the A's aren't pushing hard enough. It doesn't get anywhere. So maybe Major League Baseball will, like I said, shake some things loose. And, you know, Vegas could be the pawn here. You know, Portland was used as a pawn in this game back when the Expos left Montreal and went to D.C. Yeah, you remember that?
I do remember that.
We got used and abused.
Stable pony.
And Vegas could be that this time because I correct me if I'm wrong here, fella, but I don't think Vegas has much going on in terms of plans for a Major League Baseball franchise.
Negative, my man.
They're just over the moon that they got the NFL.
Vegas, though.
So they are not nearly as far down the road with everything as Portland's MLB to Portland group is, this group with Mike Barrett and all those guys.
But allow me to disagree with that partially, because Vegas is actually in one area much further along than anyone, and they have a stadium. They have a stadium built. They just built a AAA ballpark, and that AAA ballpark was specifically built with the idea that within a very short period of time, within one calendar year, that could be changed into a major league ballpark. Mm. The plans are there to add a second and a third deck to it. And in a very short period of time, you've got a major league stadium mm-hmm. ready to go. So
where is it?
I'll have to look that up. I mean, it's in Vegas, but I don't know exactly where it is.
Well, is it out in like Henderson or is it
let me look
on the strip
at it.
Where will, it should be?
I will have to take a look.
Well, anyway. Yeah,
the Aviators.
So the what?
The Las Vegas Aviators.
What are they? AAA?
Yeah, I think they're AAA.
Yeah. They always had a AAA team. Oh, they have.
It used to be the
Angels.
The Area 51s.
Was it the Angels team or is it the A's team? AAA team.
Or neither. No, they're the A's.
They are the A's AAA team.
The A's AAA team.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, I guess the question I'm going to have to start digging on, and I'll be asking around, but what does baseball want ultimately? Because I think baseball could get what it wants. It has the muscle. So does baseball want the A's to stay in Oakland? I've always thought they do. But they have to get a new stadium.
Yeah.
So can Major League Baseball, working with the A's and the city council there, get it done? I don't know. They haven't to this point, and it's been a long-ass road.
Yeah.
Or does Major League Baseball care if the A's stay? Look, because Oakland's a big market. You know, there's a lot of people down there in the Bay Area, man. And I just don't think that they're going to be – they don't move often. I mean, when the Expos moved, the first time since the 70s and the Rangers moved.
Yeah.
So, you know, they don't move around like NBA franchises, but with COVID, with the revenue falling, could Major League Baseball not give a rip as much about that anymore and want the infusion of relocation cash?
Which
would be a lot of money.
Monstrous. I mean, they're talking about, you're billions of dollars being put into their pocket.
I just don't know how Major League Baseball feels about it. Traditionally, they're old school. They want to keep their teams in their markets. But now that could have changed. Maybe they want to shake it up.
Yeah.
Maybe they're like, hey, we love Oakland, but Jesus, get them a ballpark. And if you can't, we're out of here. Hopefully, this isn't just your typical back and forth that will end in, 7 years, this has been going, dude, they've been talking about this since the 80s.
Yes.
So tickle me skeptical that anything's going to move here, but maybe it is finally time where baseball needs that revenue and they're saying, nope, we need a new stadium or we need the relocation money and we're open to either, just get it done. This is the end. And if that's the case, that bodes well for Portland. Well, maybe it doesn't timing wise, but it bodes well for Portland if a team is going to move. I don't know if they would get them. Vegas could get them. I view Vegas as more of a pawn in that game to try to keep the A's in Oakland at this stage. But that's not to say Vegas isn't serious about getting MLB.
Vegas,
because I know they are.
Vegas, the stadium is it's 10 miles right off the strip. You take Flamingo and you just head straight shot about 20 minutes in downtown Summerlin.
Yeah, see, I don't like that. But no.
The park was built in 2019. I mean, it's a nice stadium. And again, it was built specifically in mind that it could easily be converted to a major league ballpark. So from that standpoint, because remember, the thing about Portland is we can sit here and say, oh, MLB to Portland, MLB to Portland. And that's great. We all want it. Doesn't change the fact that you still don't have a site. You still don't have any sort of plan. You've yet to put a shovel into the ground. And that is a major, major deal here. Oh, and by the way, in case you didn't notice, our city's kind of going through some stuff right now. I don't know how you push through a ballpark when
Really only one way.
It's a effing you know what show down there right now.
Well, let's talk about that coming up next as it pertains to Portland. How can Portland get involved here? Again, I think this is a lot of typical rhetoric and posturing, but maybe it will work. In which case, we'll get a resolution with the A's. Then we just need a resolution with the Rays. And then you're talking about expansion where Portland, I think, really does come into play.
Yes, because we need, especially, look, if this moves Vegas, that may be the best thing for you because you still want a team on the West Coast. And when you expand East and West, and Portland is, if Vegas has a team, there really isn't another option on the West Coast.
So let's come back and talk about the state of things here. It is 3:34. Joe has SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Major League Baseball today has released a statement about the situation with the A's in Oakland, and the entity of Major League Baseball.
The editorial we, the royal we.
They've encouraged the A's to explore expansion. And here we go again. So why now? Well, as you said, it pertains to the city council non-vote on the A's stadium plan down there at, Howard Terminal?
Howard Terminal. They're trying to push the council to vote. And the problem is again, the A's have said they'll finance the stadium, and that'll be $1 billion, $2 billion, depending on what that is. But the project they want around Howard Terminal is huge, and they want the city obviously to handle all the infrastructure there. So I've read different things, but some of the estimates on that are significantly more for the city than what the A's are going to put into the ballpark. And then of course, obviously the A's would reap the benefits of that. And it's a matter of, can you pressure in today's time? Can you pressure a city to give you a sweetheart of a deal? Some people will be willing to do it. I mean, look at what Texas just did with their ballpark. For the Rangers, they were still paying, the people of Arlington were still paying for the old ballpark when they built the new one.
Well, we know that's not going to happen here.
No.
And so that has always been the fight. You know, there's always been good and bad to the idea of Major League Baseball to Portland. The good being, and I can tell you this is true, we have a very good and capable team that is trying to make it happen. They are good. They have good relationship with Major League Baseball. They're connected. They supposedly have big money financing. They have a site. They have a plan. They know what they're doing. The bad is that it's Portland.
Yeah.
And my God, Portland. How long?
Getting anything done.
Anything. How long have you lived here? All your life, off and on?
Most of my life.
It's never changed, has it?
No.
It's just exactly the same. Impossible. The tail wags the dog. There are 8 billion special interest groups that all have power and different interests. It is impossible. And there's no strong leadership. It's just impossible around here to get anything like this done. Now, that's not to say it can't happen, but that's where the bad has always been. Like, that's where when people are like, yeah, right on Major League Baseball to Portland, give me a break on Major League Baseball to Portland. This is where they're coming from. And it's hard to blame them.
Yeah.
But like I said, the good is, and I choose to focus on the good, that group is really working hard still through COVID and everything to get where they need to go. I think the only, because so much has worked against them in the last year because of COVID and the protests and the homeless problem. I mean, it's just, we all know what's happened in Portland, and it's not pretty.
No.
And it's national news too. It's not like you were hiding that from anyone.
And that's the problem that I have is.
The thing I was going to say is I think the one avenue that they have is you have a city that is getting more and more desperate to dig out of this, and I choose to look at this optimistically and say, well, what better way to put the finishing touches on coming out of this mess that we're all going to remember for the rest of our lives? It's happened in Portland. It's going on right now. Yep. That they're still grappling with decisions to how to clean it up. What better way to finish that off by ushering in a new Major League Baseball site with a new Major League Baseball team,
do a whole thing
in a brand new district,
up the city, brand new district, a district, a recommitment to business. And
so you could look at it two ways. You could say, well, my God, everything that's happened, nobody in Portland. I mean, like if Major League Baseball to Portland was on their radar, it sure as hell isn't now. They meaning city leaders, yeah. Wheeler, city council, whomever.
They got other things.
They certainly do have other things, other pressing matters for sure. But at the same time, you could look at it the other way and say, my God, do they need positive momentum like this and sort of commerce moving, you know, wheels like this in motion? And that's what Major League Baseball to Portland could provide if they were open to it.
And this the other thing, though, that scares me twofold. One, and I don't know if this has changed, but when we were talking with the Portland Diamond Project, they said that they were not interested in moving a team unless they controlled 51% of it. They said that this is not a point of where they want to just, you know, build a stadium and then be a minority stake owner. So do the A's ownership group, nowhere in here as they talked about selling, they're talking about relocating. That would be problem numero uno. Is he willing to sell 51%? Right now, nothing I've read leads me to believe that the A's are looking to sell. Two, even if you are on board and you somehow get the city and you navigate everything and they agree to put up however much money infrastructure-wise, and that's kind of the devil in the details thing, the A's Howard Terminal project is $12 billion. Now, the A's have said that they will pay for the $1.5 billion, whatever, to build the stadium, and they'll pay for any on-site infrastructure, like seawall protection, all that stuff. But they never do talk about who's responsible for the other, I don't know, $9 billion. And that's what I'm interested with the Portland Diamond Project is, yes, you say that the city is not going to be on the hook, but that's not true. Anytime you build something like this, you're talking about a new district, there's going to be money involved. And that's the thing that scares the living daylights out of me, is that once we get into the details of this and that hits the newspapers and that hits the Portland, I don't know, whatever you call the Keep Portland Weird crowd, and we find out that, yeah, the city of Portland is going to be on the hook for $2-4 billion, that may hit like an anvil. And then the other thing that would scare me about this is that even if the Portland Diamond Project was willing to be a minority partner in this, how the hell over the next 2 years are you going to convince someone taking a tour of a city to walk through Portland and say, this is where you want your ballpark to be?
Well, again, this is why you go back to expansion. You want the A's to get resolved.
Yeah.
Whether that's move to Nashville, move to Vancouver, move to Charlotte, move to what else? Montreal, move to Vegas.
Yeah.
If the A's move to Vegas, that's not bad for Portland.
No, I think that's great, because then it sets you up as really that or Vancouver is the only option for a team on the West Coast, which in expansion, you would want one.
You want that resolved. And then you want the Rays situation resolved. And once those two situations are resolved, then Major League Baseball at least says that it would look at expansion. And that's where Portland comes in.
Yeah.
So that's where you're at. And, you know, a lot of that's timing, just syncing all this up at the right time. Because timing right now, like if Major League Baseball came out right now and said, hey, we want to expand within the next 2 years,
we're hooped.
Portland's in a bad spot for that. But
maybe 5 years down the road, maybe we're in a better spot.
Maybe better. Maybe the timing is right. Yeah. So, you just want the A's situation resolved. If I'm an A's fan, my God, can you imagine living through that? Like the Blazers, let's say the Blazers and Moda Center were just fighting for 30. It's just like, Esther, get off the pot. Like you're saying the A's don't talk about how 2 to 12 billion is going to be spent or who's going to pay for it.
Who's going to pay for it?
Figure it out, A's. Like some of this is on the A's. You have to, it takes two to tango. You have to do a deal that's good for both sides.
Yep.
So the city's not stupid. They don't want to lose the A's, but they can't just pony up $10 billion because you want it.
And they've proven that with the Raiders, and they've proven it with the Warriors.
So how bad do the A's then want to stay? How bad, you know, I just think from a Portland perspective, you want the A's and the Rays situations to be resolved. So hopefully what came out today about Major League Baseball pushing the A's to look at relocation, they're going to use Vegas as a pawn because the Raiders, you know, the people in Oakland are scared of that because like you said, they've already lost the Warriors and they just lost the Raiders to Vegas.
Yeah.
So that's certainly going to get their, maybe raise an eyebrow or two in the city council. And maybe that ends up getting us to some sort of resolution down there, but that's really it. That's really the only area where Portland plays in right now.
So, I mean, it was big news today, but I feel like maybe some people read that and took it a little further than what it is in reality.
All right. Well, let's go on to our next point of attack. Are you ready?
Let's.
Do you know what's next?
No, I don't.
I'm going to tell you.
I can't wait.
Can't wait. Who's that? Bart Scott?
That is Bart Scott.
What is Dogecoin? No, we'll do that later. Do you know what Dogecoin is?
I do. I don't have any. I wish I did.
Why do you wish you did? It's like 50 cents.
Because at one point, if you had it, you could have, it was up, what, like something ridiculous, like 200,000. It was, if you, some people made millions upon millions of dollars off that dumb thing.
On Dogecoin?
Yes.
Last July, it was half a cent.
Half a cent. And now then, it's 50.
Well, no. For a while there, cents? Though, it was like,
I mean, it was even less than half a cent. Yeah. I mean, it was like a tenth of a cent.
Just not too long ago, it was sky high. I mean, it's very volatile, but there are people that made a bunch of money on this.
Well, we're not gonna go down that road just yet. Guess the odds-on favorite to be the number one pick in the next NFL draft.
Oh, I got a good guess.
That will be next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I was just reading more about the late Colt Brennan.
I do not know a lot about Colt Brennan. In fact, I found out more today about him than I knew the rest of my life about him.
Yeah, me too, fella. I couldn't have picked him out of a lineup, although I do remember this picture now that I was just looking at it.
The haircut?
Yes.
Yeah.
That dude, when he was at Hawaii playing football and slanging them.
Yeah, he had the Hawaiian Islands dyed into his hair.
So he dyed his hair. He kind of looks like Paul Walker a little bit. A
little bit. He was a good-looking guy.
And he dyed his hair bleach blonde, but then he had the Hawaiian Islands bleached back to black.
Yeah.
In his blonde hair.
And those were some of the best uniforms in football.
That's freaking cool.
When they, when June Jones, they did the, like, kind of the silver with the all the tribal tattoos. And, dude, Hawaii was a big deal, man. Like, Hawaii football around that time just played some of the most unique football and, you know, just kind of that island mystique. And it was a big stinking deal out there. And the Polys, man, they love their football. And he was a legend out there.
So he's had a few mugshots, unfortunately.
Yeah, he ran into some.
And boy, he's unrecognizable.
Yeah, he gained a bunch of weight. And,
jeez.
You know.
Anyway, he died. He was in a Southern California rehab facility. He'd been in there for 5 months, and they found him unconscious.
His dad said, I'm paraphrasing, but his dad said something along the lines of he danced on the dark side a few too many times in his life. And I guess, and I didn't know this, he had a car wreck a number of years ago, and he had a traumatic brain injury, and I don't know exactly what, you know, that led to, but he never was able to get his life on track after the car wreck.
All right, so who do you think is the odds on favorite to be the number one pick in the next NFL draft? You said you had a pretty good idea.
Well, I thought because you were bringing this up, I was going to go with the local angle and say there's a certain edge rusher for Oregon that I think has a very good chance of being the number one draft pick.
You know what that means?
I think I'm right.
That means you're right.
Hey, look at me.
Because it was not this.
No.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah.
Of the Ducks is the odds-on favorite to be the number one pick in the NFL draft.
Well, it is one of those things now where, for the most part, the number one pick usually ends up being a quarterback or an edge rusher, right? I mean, those are kind of the two most valued positions. So, like, you're not going to take a tight end. You're not going to take a wide receiver. You're not going to take maybe an O-lineman. But there's some positions that you are not going to go number one overall. But being an edge rusher is one of those. In fact, I'll look at the number one overall picks in the NFL. I'll bet you over the last, let's say 25 years, and the vast majority will be quarterbacks, D linemen, or offensive linemen.
Yeah, it's interesting, and there are some interesting ties to the team that could get him. Of course, we don't know who will be the worst team if he would be the number one pick. A lot can happen.
Yeah.
But, for the sake of speculation, we'll get to that next on The Fan. A reading.